Penguin Random House Audio presents Girl Underwater by Claire Kells. Read for you by Julia Whalen. Chapter 1. I've always loved the water. My earliest memory is opening my eyes in my neighbor's pool and seeing the world through this different state of being. It shocked no one when I begged for swim lessons at the age of 3, far younger than my older, more adventuresome brothers. When my mother saw me flying off the high dive the summer before kindergarten, she was horrified but not surprised. She wanted to ban me from the pool for a week, but my dad had a different idea. Put her on the swim team. After the crash, my instincts changed. Even the smallest children know not to breathe underwater, but somehow my mind railed against everything I'd ever known. I thought it was permanent. I thought fear was forever. Chapter 2. The security line proceeds in its usual torturous fashion, in stops and starts, other people's luggage tumbling at my feet. After 30 minutes of half-hearted apologies, one of the TSA checkers waves me over. He holds up my Massachusetts license and smirks.
You sure this is you?
Yep. I force a smile. That picture isn't my proudest moment. Blonde hair, wild and windblown, eyes bloodshot, freckled skin paler than a baby's butt. It was February, the week before midterms. Never get your driver's license issued in February.
You're a brunette now.
Yep. Precious seconds tick by.
Okay, he says, handing it over. You pass.
I take my license and head for the closest lane. A family of 6 squeezes in right in front of me, juggling Uggs and Disney backpacks and a whole assembly of umbrellas. A toddler empties his pockets and 50 pennies scatter on the floor. I scoop them up while his parents chase down their other kids. 5 interminable minutes later, I'm through the X-ray machine, awaiting the verdict with my shoes off, arms at my sides.
Clear,
the woman says, with the amount of enthusiasm one would expect from someone who's said it 1,000 times today. The crowds don't exactly part for me as I run for the gate, but I've gotten good at this. Some people run clumsily, handbags flying, suitcases bobbing behind them on carpeted floors. The business class folks walk with a practiced, efficient grace. I'm somewhere in between, a little stressed but not crazed. Forget dinner, though. I hurry past the bars and froyo stands with a lurch in my stomach. The thing is, I could have avoided all this. I could have been on time, relaxed, enjoying a decent dinner or at least some packaged sushi before my flight. Phil Markey offered me a ride to the airport after practice this morning, which came as a shock because senior guys don't often talk to sophomore girls, especially sophomore girls who don't exactly dominate in the pool. I didn't wonder about it too much, though. A ride with the co-captain? I said yes. My excitement dimmed when Phil pulled up to my dorm with Colin Shea in the front seat. Colin Shea, serious and quiet and abundantly talented. Scarily talented. I'd avoided him since the first day of freshman year, and the thought of trying to explain why to Phil. So I bailed. My excuse didn't even make sense, something about car sickness and country music. Phil didn't care, but Colin noticed. He always notices. As if on cue, Colin steps out of line at Starbucks just as I'm rounding the corner. He's paying for a coffee, a venti, in fact. Who buys coffee right before a red eye? Not just that, but a supersized coffee. He doesn't even bother with cream and sugar. He thanks the exhausted barista, stuffs the tip jar while she isn't looking, and jogs up to the gate. He's clearly the last one to board. Well, second to last. Why did he wait so long to board? I hope to God he wasn't waiting for me to show up. Phil knew we were all booked for the same flight to Boston, and Colin has a strange sense of responsibility about him. He probably thinks I'm late because of him, which is true.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?